this week was pretty different. I'm really excited about this episode because we not only have some incredible people today, but there's also two of them. Oh, so we have two guests instead of one.
Yes, and it was such an interesting conversation to have because their dynamic together, being twins, was incredible. So we had the wonderful Morgan and Alexandra Venison, the co-founders of Genie,
which is a consulting and content creation agency.
Yeah, they just launched, and I'm so proud of them and their story about where they came from, their background, and where they are now, and how they work together as sisters is really fun, and they're hilarious. So you guys are really going to enjoy this episode.
It's full of gems, too, like so many pearls of wisdom.
Yeah. Really, really one of our fun. I mean, we're not really biased because they're one of our friends, but they're wonderful people. So we're really excited for this week's guests. So hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Make sure to follow. And this is Candid
with Hanin and Zahra. So we're back in the studio today. And today's a very exciting day because it's a first for us. We are actually four people today. We're in the studio with the lovely Venison twins, Morgan and Alex.
Hi, guys.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. We're so excited to hear your story. So one of the things we do with our guests is ask them to tell us about themselves in 30 seconds. And I know there's two of you, so we're going to start with Alex first and then move on to Morgan. So Alex, tell us.
So hi, my name's Alexandra Venison. I'm actually twin two. So Morgan and I have lived here for 20 years. I went back to London to study at London College of Fashion. I studied journalism, and then on the day I graduated, I got a job offer from Emirates Woman magazine, so I returned to Dubai. I worked there in fashion and beauty, and then I moved over to Viva magazine, which used to be a really great beauty-led magazine here, and then I went to Harper's Bazaar as online editor, then I went to Vogue Arabia as beauty editor, and then I decided the freelance life was for me, and my twinnie. So I then decided to leave and join up with her. So I'm now doing freelance journalism. I'm working with some really great titles. I'm working on content and consulting for our company called Genie.
Wow, that's a very impressive
portfolio and CV.
That's just for now. There's lots coming.
I'm sure. And Morgan?
So my name is Morgan. I had no idea what I wanted to do when I was growing up. So unlike Alexandra, I went for a very, very broad course, business management in Manchester. Absolutely hated it. And then came back to Dubai and somehow ended up in PR. And after, I think I was in about four different companies before I started my own PR company at the ripe age of 24. And most recently have joined forces with Twinnie, as she mentioned. And we're now doing beauty, health, wellness, and lifestyle consulting and copywriting. And it's a very, very interesting journey, trying to teach her the entrepreneurship life.
I mean,
trying to lead the way.
I'm also trying to lead the way, but that's twins for you.
Yeah.
So which one came first?
Which one do you think came first? You've known us for long enough.
I think you came first.
I know.
Okay, so Morgan came first.
Yeah, and considerable. She's 12 minutes older.
But you took your time.
For twins. I was holding on. I was like, I'm not ready to come out yet.
No, she came out the wrong way, upside down. Who knows what?
Front.
And I'd come out 12 minutes earlier and they forgot I even existed because she came out with her.
To be fair, I had a heart problem, so they took me off. I was just trying to take all the glory. Sorry, Morgan.
It's so cute to see you guys because me and Hanin don't have sisters. So seeing your relationship, sometimes I'm like, oh, I want a sister. Sometimes I'm like, maybe it's best I don't have a sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We would agree and disagree every different hour of the day. Yeah, and you love each other so much, but you also hate each other so much. It's like, it is honestly, I think, the craziest relationship I have and will ever have. Mm-hmm.
Do you have this weird twin thing? Like, if one of you is not feeling well, the other one doesn't feel well?
100%.
Oh, really? So it's not a myth.
I remember what happened to you? There was something that went wrong with her, and I knew it, and I called her. She actually once got mugged. Can I bring this up?
Oh, no, tell us.
And we had this twin intuition, and I was like, something's not right, and I called her. She's like, I'm just at the police station.
Oh, no.
This was in Manchester, obviously. Maybe why she didn't enjoy it so much.
No, it was great.
And so how, I know you guys now work together again, right? Have you worked together before, or?
The interesting thing is that I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I came back to Dubai. So at the time that Alex was working at Emirates Women magazine, they were moving from the Dira offices down to Media One, and they were also doing what was the infamous Emirates Women Awards, which was hands down one of the best parties of the year. It was so much fun. So the editor, Sophia Serin, at the time, loved what Alexandra was doing, and she realized there's two of them, so let me get Morgan in. Much to the dismay for Alexandra, because she just started there, so I did feel a bit bad, kind of, you want to live your own lives as twins, especially because you can be compared all the time. So I kind of went in and assisted with the move and was just an assistant around the office and had the best time ever. And then from there, I was pulled into the PR world. I kind of met people from PR and I got offered a job that way. So we've always kind of weirdly worked together because she's on the journalism side, I'm on the PR side, never in the same company, but a lot of the work that we've done has been
overlapping
through that. So it's been really interesting. And I think that's kind of what's brought us together and made our new company so unique, because we've got, you know, marketing, consulting, communication, everything is changing so much. And a lot of it's becoming very intertwined together. And now we've kind of got views from both sides and writing, what would you call it? Writing styles from different sides as well. And we've brought that together. So I think that's what kind of really sets us apart now.
Yeah. And I mean, I know you guys just launched, but obviously there's always the work being done behind the scenes. How has it been being sisters and twins and finally coming together?
Hell.
In one...
Hell on earth.
Has it?
Alexandra, we actually launched a year ago. We kind of joined up last November. Alex decided to get married, so I'd say...
I didn't decide.
How dare she?
I got forced into it, but have you seen the ring?
So our largest client was Alexandra Venice's wedding for a few months.
I should have got a wedding planner. For any future brides, get a wedding planner.
Yes.
You had one.
Yeah, it was you. No, that did. We worked on some big projects, and I think the interesting thing is when you leave a company, you sometimes get offered jobs that potentially aren't what you want to work on. And I kind of wish we had more focus, but at the same time, you shouldn't have any regrets, and we learned so much. But we worked on huge projects that weren't necessarily what we wanted to do. And that kind of pulled our focus a bit. So the relaunch of Genie, which I actually think is like a rebirth. So I would say it's us really joining up. Now we know what we want to do. We're super focused.
And good things are coming now as well.
Yeah.
I think it's the fear of when you first start, the fear of, I mean, you've got to pay your bills, you need to have money coming in.
That's what I missed. Yeah. It's so, like, you literally go for jobs because someone's going, we can give you this. And you're like, okay, good. The next 3 months are sorted.
But then it completely distracts you from what you want to do.
You need to be brave and like take that time and not accept the jobs at the expense of your shopping habit.
So, what made you guys decide to, you know, get together and finally do this?
I think...
was there a moment where you guys looked at each other and you're like, oh my God, we should totally do this?
No, it was inevitable. Oh. It really was. We work so well together as a team. We love the same things. And our business minds work the same way. And we really like... There's no one you can trust more than your sister. Like, family... close family, I don't think will ever stab you in the back, I hope.
I don't even know how to explain it.
Do you know what? It's the world of communication, editorial, magazines, PR, everything is changing so quickly and so much that sometimes being in big companies, you can't move as quickly. Mm. So I think that's why so many people are turning to freelance, especially after COVID. And it's also the lifestyle as well. There's nothing better than not being in an office full time for me personally.
Of course.
I think it's not for everyone because I think
it was not for me. From the age of 24, done. Couldn't be in an office. Hated
but like, it. Yeah, you can be in an office and not want that and then start your own thing where you're working double the time, because when you have your own thing, it's a 24-hour job.
Yeah, of course.
But also, it's the security. When you have a 9-to-5, you get paid on time every month. And when you're self-employed or you're freelancer, it's not like that. You have to make almost like you have to prepare for an apocalypse of sorts. Like yeah, when you get terrifying. Paid, you have to like make sure like you have enough money to like tide you over for the next few months when it's slow in the summer, when it picks up during the holidays. So I think it's not everyone, you'd be surprised, not everyone wants their own business.
Yeah.
A lot of people are more than happy with the predictability of a 9-to-5 because not everyone can handle the ups and downs of self-employment.
It's also accounting. I mean, chasing checks and stuff is a nightmare. And then it's also, you don't realize how much trade licenses cost, visas cost, health insurance cost. So for some people, they don't want to do that. They don't want to focus on that. So
I think it also goes back to where we are. In the UAE, it's all about being an entrepreneur and starting your own thing because it's quite easy compared to other countries to start your own thing. So there's always that added pressure of like, oh, but you're not your own boss. Like, you know, but I understand that not everyone, like just like what you said, Hani, not everyone can handle because it's a lot more. Even though it's a lot more, at least it's for you, which I'm sure is what you guys are now experiencing and appreciating.
Correct? Yeah, I haven't had a weekend in 3 weeks, like a full day off. I think, though, saying that, it's really, really important to take time off. Like, this could be a whole different podcast that we could talk about because I started my business at the age of 24 and I really had no idea what I was doing. I kind of knew what I didn't want to do, but I was young, I made a lot of mistakes, I've learned a lot along the way, but one of the biggest things I learned was you have to take a Friday off, like at least once a week take a Friday off, or you've got to get out the house, don't work from your house. Even if you don't have an office, I think you need to get out at least once a day and go work from somewhere, because I completely burnt myself out. Like I ended up partially fault of the brain problem I had, and I ended up in the hospital with a brain virus for a few weeks, and that was a huge wake-up call, and I think that's where it kind of stemmed from as well. And you have to take at least one day off for your mental health, for all this. I mean, there are so many studies in Europe now where they're saying that they want to do 4-day work weeks and they're trialing that. That's come from research. You can't work that much and kind of burn yourself out. So although you, like, for me throughout the week, I'll work till midnight every night if I have to.
Which is still a lot.
But I will take, I try not to. Yeah. I'll do filing and all that fun stuff in front of the TV. I never stop. But especially for your relationship, you're married now as well. And even I've got a new partner and I had to explain to him and say to him, please, if I'm working on weeknights, don't get annoyed at me. Like, I'm going to bring my laptop out while we're watching TV, not even when we're talking. But you've got to accept the fact that I'm an entrepreneur and I need to work on weeknights sometimes. I need to catch up on things. Like, even if I'm just editing a picture or filing some stuff away, it needs to get done. So it is, but you really, really need to find the balance. Like, turn your phone off, turn your computer off when you have dinner. Pick it back up when you're in front of the TV, for example. But I think it's also about balance. I saw a really interesting article about, I don't know if it was one of the girls from Google or something, and she'd written, I work on my own hours. So if I'm sending you an email at 10 o'clock at night, don't feel obliged to write back straight away. And you guys will know as well, we go to so many events, we have so many meetings during the day. Sometimes the only chance you get to actually do proper work or follow up on emails is like
the evening.
8, 9, 10. Mm. But I feel bad emailing people at that time, so maybe I need to put that filter in mind too. But sometimes, like you say, it is nice when you're in front of the TV to like relax and do a few emails.
Yeah. But I mean, being sisters, do you find it difficult, like, by playing the role of a sister and then playing the role of co-founders? Because you guys are always together. So I know, like you said, you know, take Fridays off. But do you have that balance as being sisters? Like, if you're having a family lunch, are you talking business? Or are you actually like, no, this is family lunch, we're being family?
That's something I'm better at doing, and I'm trying to teach her how to do it. So we've been at lunches, or we've been out on a night out, and our friends have gone, because they're excited that we're now working together, so they'll be like, how's the business going? La, la, la. And I go, we're not talking about that. We're time off now. It is an extremely different balance. It's probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do in business is find a balance with my sister, because it's stressful. It's really hard work. And things look so shiny on social media. And I can list about 10 entrepreneurs who I completely look up to, who I think are incredible businesswomen in this region. But I know that they struggle. I know that a lot of them have turned around and gone, the number one
I'd love to name her, but a fabulous, fabulous makeup artist. So I remember laughing with her in Paris. And she was one of my idols, and she turned around to me and she went, the number one thing that nobody ever tells you about launching a business is don't do it. And I had no idea, because she looks so amazing from social media and face value, but she has all the problems that we have. So finding the balance between your sister and stopping, and I mean, the fights we've had are insane.
We have most of our friends are the same as well. We're not those weird twins that like share a bed and dress the same and
sometimes
all of that.
Oh, you're not? Oh, I'm disappointed.
I know.
Sometimes we do.
We did when we were little, but that
thank God you guys don't dress the
same.
Could
you imagine?
That's just a bit creepy.
We have a few of the same outfits. And sometimes
we have to
we
call
turned
each
up
other.
The other day, we were both wearing the same blue striped shirt, and it was no, too much.
Can I just say that you guys are wearing completely different things today, so
yes.
Thank you for that.
And one's blonde, one's a brunette.
Yeah. That's honestly, guys, that's why we're blonde and brunette. Because I think it's such an interesting topic as well for twins. It's how you find your own voice.
And your own identity.
And I think that's one of the biggest things with joining businesses as well, and something I've been struggling with in the past year. I'm like, I've built up this name for myself, and I've worked my whole career. I knew from the age of like 3, 4, whenever I could pick up a Vogue magazine, I was like, that's what I'm doing. That's my goal. I'm going to do everything I can to get there. And then hitting that goal. And then I did 3.5 years, and it was amazing and an incredible experience, but I was ready to move on. It's like,
what's next?
And then joining up with Morgan, it's like, where's that balance of still being Alex, but then
part of a team?
Yeah, part of a team. It's really difficult.
So I kind of want to ask you both, because you both come from industries that are portrayed very differently in movies and in social media. So I kind of want to get into that. So for both of you, Alex, was it like The Devil Wears Prada? And
she can't answer this.
And she's still working in magazines.
Morgan, is it like Samantha from Sex and the City?
I made it like Samantha from Sex and the City.
Samantha was an inspiration from you.
Absolutely.
Right, the character.
And have you ever watched Absolutely Fabulous, Patsy?
Yes.
Yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm. I can see you as Patsy from Ab Fab.
Wait, wasn't she Patsy? What are their names? Patsy and...
Edie.
Edie, yeah. No, Edie's the PR, though, isn't she? Patsy's... I was more Patsy on that
Yeah,
side.
I see you as Patsy.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, they're all looking at me.
That was Alexandra's Hendy theme.
In movies, it's super glamorous, and you have the closet and the fashion. I've worked in publishing, and Zahra's worked in publishing, so I'm not... I have a different view on how it really is, but I want to hear it from you.
My view on journalism is that we work so hard that the landscape of journalism has changed so much. So let me say, when I was a kid and I was going into it, if I was the beauty editor, I would just have to write the magazine. I'd probably have a team of about 2 or 3 with me, and we'd have the month to put it together, and we'd also be working 4 to 5 months in advance. That was what I went into journalism as. Also, I went into journalism as I wanted to meet people, interview people, and I didn't know about the perks. And I think what's really sad is that there's so many people in the industry that are simply focused on perks and freebies. And let me tell you, it gets not boring, but it gets overwhelming, and it gets to a point where there's no enjoyment anymore. It's what I think like billionaires feel when they're buying like an Hermes Birkin. The joy's sucked out of it.
I mean, I wouldn't mind having that problem.
Yeah, to be fair. Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
I get it. Too much of something is never good.
Yeah. I would have interns coming up to my desk and they'd be like, there's a gift for you. And I was like, it's not a gift. Yes, it looks nice and shiny and it's a beautiful perfume, but I'm writing about it. I'm learning about it. I'm editing about it. And I'll probably give it to someone else in the team. So I know I've kind of digressed a bit. I worked with some absolutely incredible people, and I still honestly do. And they are some of the hardest working people I've ever come across, and they're super inspiring. I think the people that are still in magazines full time, I respect so much, because they are working with tiny teams and they're still producing great quality content. But there are some egos in the industry.
I mean, that's a given.
And I find it is a given, but I actually find it really sad, because it could be the most fantastic experience for everyone. We aren't saving the world. Yes, it's people's jobs, and it's a huge global industry, but we should all be nice to each other. We're so lucky that we're here. We're so lucky that we get to do something that we love. And when nobody's stepping on each other's toes, I know if you have someone coming up behind you trying to steal your job, then fair enough. But when everyone's, a lot of people and journalists left here, we're all in our own lanes. No one's super competing with each other. So,
Don't you feel like, because journalism has changed and it's no longer this dog-eat-dog world, like now you can start your own e-magazine or website or Instagram and suddenly you're a journalist. So it's not as competitive as it once was. So I feel like you shouldn't be stepping on anyone's toes because now you have a chance of publishing your own stuff. You don't have to be tied to a magazine.
TBC, watch out in January, guys. I know we've been saying this for a long time, but part of what Morgan and I are doing is we want to launch our own platform, which we've been working on for about 2 years. And it's interesting because I've come from editorial and like Vogue, I was so lucky. I had decent budgets and I had brilliant people designing the pages and brilliant people subbing the pages and stuff. But to do it by yourself, I expect a level of quality. Mm-hmm. And there's so many, like you say, e-magazines and stuff out there now that don't have the quality. They're also spreading wrong and false information, which scares me so much, especially like, and I'll ask you guys, but the world of beauty and skincare and health, it's scary what people are putting out there. Mm-hmm. And it's, what I've really struggled with as well is in beauty was, I was getting so much in and I didn't want to be seen as an influencer who was like posting all the free product I got and everything. Like I want to be
obnoxious.
Talking about it properly. So how do you post about product and new launches without looking like an influencer, like you're unboxing?
It's tricky.
It's imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
Like as an editor, I should be posting about all the new launches and I should say, this is the new perfume here. This is the new foundation here. But I feel like it's almost turned into boasting. How do you guys deal with that?
I think it's because also the landscape of journalism has completely changed. You're not just writing articles or reporting. You're doing content for social media. You're doing this, video, everything. Like you suddenly wear a lot of different
hats.
It's
show business. It's not even journalism.
It's show business, not journalism.
It's entertainment.
It's a lot. So I completely understand what you mean. You don't want to be pigeonholed into thinking, okay, no, she's now an influencer. No, we're all doing our jobs, and unfortunately or fortunately, our jobs involves all these different aspects now that we have to do. So I understand the imposter syndrome because I go through that. I mean, I'm sure all of us, especially as women, always trying to be like, oh, maybe someone's going to call me out and realize that I've been doing this on a whim and I've been lucky this whole time and I don't know what I'm talking about. But we have the experience. We have the work ethic. We've worked really hard. We've studied really hard. So I get what you mean, but again, the landscape has completely changed and you're kind of like jack of all trades.
Yeah. And you just need to keep up.
Yeah, you have to. Otherwise, you'd be left behind.
Hello, TikTok. You want me to dance for you? I'll dance.
Yeah.
I will not.
Well, that brings me to my next question. Yeah. I'm going to ask you, Morgan, about PR. So PR, I think, from what I've seen, has shifted. It's no longer traditional PR where you just blast out press releases to everyone and then that gets plugged into a magazine. I think with the rise of influencers and social media and all of that, PR has definitely shifted. How has that changed for you?
I do have to agree. It used to be a lot more fun when you could write a press release, send it out, and be guaranteed 50 pieces of coverage. That most certainly does not happen anymore. Bless all of the PRs out there, I feel you. Now you've got to be so much more, you've got to target people a lot more. And to be fair, there are a lot more people out there because PR also now involves influencers, and there seems to be an infinite amount of them. Obviously, there are some who are a lot better than others. And I think we're also in a very, very unique region where in the UK or in the US with the laws, I feel like you can call people out in regards to if they've bought followers or anything like that. You do have to be targeted. And I think there are a lot of people who still kind of send out to everybody and kind of get everyone at events. I think you guys would agree when you go to events like that and you're walking in and you don't know who anyone is and you're going, what's going on? I think you lose a little bit of respect for the brand that way. For us, we're kind of, I wouldn't say we're a PR anymore. We definitely don't say that. I very much would like to get away from PR. And I think PR has changed so much in the last few years. It's unbelievable. And it's been really, really, really hard for PRs to kind of find their footing, especially with digital coming in. Magazines are still so important. They're brands themselves. So we always say to our clients, if they're, I don't want to be in a magazine, is there still value or anything? I'm like, yes, there absolutely is. If you're featured in Vogue, it's almost like having a blue tick. Mm. So it's still so important. Like if I started a brand tomorrow, a clothing brand, a beauty brand, absolutely, I would very, very much target a story. And instead of sending out a press release to like 15 magazines, I'd find a targeted story for each different magazine. And also realize it takes a lot of time. Like if you're not willing to spend, you've got to catch someone on the right day at the right time with the right story. It's difficult. Like PR is a really, really, really hard job. So we don't really do PR anymore. We do what we kind of call community management. So depending on the kind of marketing plan we've put together and how it's working authentically and consistently across all the different communication platforms, Instagram, social media, obviously links to influencers, still send out press releases. We really, really like online coverage. I think there's still a lot of traction you can get from that.
It's also having, I think the really great thing is, as a journalist, I used to get 200 to 300 emails a day, especially during the Vogue times, of just emails coming into your inbox. I really miss the days of when PRs and journalists were like, it was all about their relationships, and it was, you would go out to lunches and discuss all of their clients, and it would just be, it was a great community. And you begin to trust PRs. Like, mm-hmm. There's several companies here who I trust implicitly. I know their events are always beautiful. I know that when they're pitching me something, it is actually for me, and I will get the exclusive. And so it can't just be, like you were saying, these mass emails don't work anymore because they will get lost in the inbox.
Yeah.
So,
and they also don't make sense anymore. There's, as well as in Instagram and everything else rising, there has also been a rise of an enormous amount of new companies,
products,
fast fashion
brands,
products. Yeah. Like how many beauty brands are there? Like every celebrity seems to have their own beauty brand, let alone influencers who are starting. And there are some really, really great ones out there. But there's so much in our face, so I think you do have to target things. And it's even the rise of like micro-influencers as well. Kind of going back to my point of we don't know who's real and we don't know who's not.
Yeah.
I actually think that micro, not necessarily all, I'm not, again, doing a blanket statement, but I think there is such value in some micro-influencers, especially in our region. You know, if someone has 5,000 or 10,000 followers, the likelihood is they're UAE-based, they're real, they're legit. I think most people should only have about 30, mm-hmm. 40, 50, 100,000. I literally don't understand where the millions are coming from within reason.
We don't either.
But there should be four or five people, but there's so many people who are, and I don't understand it. I was having a conversation with someone the other day and they were like, there's a German footballer who's got 50,000 followers. Obviously he doesn't probably post that much, but he's a German famous footballer and he's only got that. And I think it's a little bit scary how people are buying and buying and buying and buying, and I think that's what kind of makes this industry a bit, you get imposter syndrome, you don't feel good enough, but everybody kind of knows that it's not
real,
yet we all still kind of fall in line and
but
work
it's also,
around it.
I think it's not, a lot of times these mega influencers, I'm going to call them mega influencers. Okay. I like that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them, other than the ones that do buy followers, a lot of them produce mass content that's just easy to digest. Mm-hmm. It's quick. It's family friendly. It's entertaining. It's not necessarily complicated or informative or emotional. It's just quick fire content that you consume. And I think that's where most of the followers are coming from. And that's because it's a lot harder to get your followers when you're very niche and you're very informative and thorough and you do your research. I'm sure Alex, Zahra, you guys know when you want to cover a brand and you're so passionate about it and you want to talk about it. But right now at this point, I don't think that's the content people want. They just want a 10-second video that's fun, mm-hmm. easy to watch, and done, swipe, next. It's just nobody's engrossed in the content anymore.
That's what's such a shame.
I think that hyper growth comes from that.
But I think mm-hmm. that's why.
And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. It's
no, I'm not bashing anyone.
No,
good for you.
No, like, for me, I thought I was people. But there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. We need that as well. But from a XPR kind of standpoint, trying to explain that to clients.
Yeah.
is where the issue is, and making sure that things are targeted, and doing both is
and
so important.
They might not necessarily get the same return on investment as a micro.
Yeah, sometimes. Exactly. Yeah.
But I think, again, it goes back to the landscape changing for everyone, whether it's journalists, whether it's PR, whether mm-hmm. it's influencers, is because everything's saturated. Everyone has lost their patience. They want something fast, quick. Like, even, for example, with TikTok, they added an option to have a 3-minute video, and people are like, whoa, that's really long. I don't have the span, like the
brain span,
the time to sit and watch a 3-minute video. There needs to be a scroll button so that I can go fast, like forward it.
It's
so
really bad.
That's why everything has changed, and that's why all of us, with whatever it is we're doing, we really have to not just look at something one way. We need to really be open and try all the different, we have to, otherwise we'd be left behind, you know? So just like journalism, you're not just a journalist, you know, you are an influencer in a journalistic way,
trying.
You know? And PR, you know, everyone does PR. I don't think PR is going to die. I think it's the way PR
adapting.
Is done. Yes, it's changing. It's being ahead of the game because everything's changing. And like so nowadays, I don't know if this has happened to you guys, but like a lot of times with my clients, and I just do social media, my clients go like, yeah, but social media is PR for us. It's a different type. It's
Absolutely.
A digital PR. So everything is really changing, and it's about adapting, and it's about really not being so stubborn and really working your way through all the different tunnels of whatever your background is.
Yeah, it's just being quick on your feet.
Yeah.
And I think me and Zahra had this conversation a while back mm-hmm. where we feel like we're always like one step behind. Like, you know, video is king, and then we're like a few months late to the video game, and someone else has made it big, and then it's like mini videos, and then we're late to that. And it's just, it feels like it's never ending.
You're always
it's
playing
always
catch
shifting.
Up.
You're always trying to catch up. I think it's more difficult that we're a little bit older, like we're millennials, we're not Gen Z, we're not like, you know, as plugged in as they are. I think also our backgrounds, traditional journalism, traditional PR, traditional, you know, it's hard to adapt and be quick on your feet. And I think that's
the secret.
But we're
also businesswomen as well. And this is why I was saying, like, when we first launched Genie, I almost wish we had taken 2 months off, stopped and gone, what do we want to do? Because you're so busy working with your company, doing all your social media. Haneen's so busy running one of the best salons in the whole region.
Yeah.
Her nails are amazing. And then we're so busy working on clients and content, and we get amazing clients in that we can't even speak about. Mm. And so we're so busy doing that that you're going to prioritize, well, maybe it is our age, but we're going to prioritize the clients. And then social media is like a back thought when it's actually sometimes I say to Morgan, oh, I need to upload this event from last night. And I feel bad about it, but it's actually me building a brand, and it can eventually lead to, you know.
That's one thing I always
survival.
Get. That's true. That's one thing I always get asked, like, are you still doing the influencer, you know, air quotes, influencer thing? And I'm like, I kind of have to, because my business is me.
Connected. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of clients see what I've done with my Instagram and how long I've been in the industry and they go, okay, maybe she knows a thing or two, so let's work with her agency. So everyone is building their own brand, and it doesn't matter what you're doing. Your brand is so important, and eventually it reflects on your company, whether it's you're working for someone or you're working for yourself. So yeah, you have to post that post, Alex, you have to be present.
Do you get brave to do it? Like, I think the thing, especially with our platform that's taken so long to put together and everything, it's so scary to put yourself out there and put your name to just something that goes, this is me.
You know what really helps? Someone, and I can't remember who, so if it's you, please let me know. Someone told me recently that every time you're scared to post something, remember, nobody cares. Nobody is paying particular attention to you in specific.
They won't even watch a 3-minute video.
Yeah. Nobody's sitting at home, grabbing their phone, going like, oh my God, what's Haneen going to upload so I can make fun of her? Nobody's doing that.
Yeah.
So once you get past that mental barrier that the world is so big and so saturated and there's so many people, whatever you post is not going to be nearly weird enough to like warrant any kind of attention.
I think
just go for it.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is just do it. You just have to do it. And eventually you fall into this like rhythm where you get what it is you want to do. You understand what people want to see and that works for you, and it just comes naturally. You just have to do it. You just start.
And I think it's also staying in your own lane. And you said something to me the other day. You said, stop looking at other people's content because you fall into deep, dark holes with it. Every minute that you're looking at someone else's content, you're not making your own.
Yeah. And it's like, just instead of wasting time looking at what other people are doing and comparing yourself and playing that comparison game, just be doing your own thing and it will come. Things will come and everything will fall into place. I think it's just...
I think it's the scariest thing, just seeing people who seem to have their brand, and I get so jealous of it because I'm not even sure what identity I have. Like, we've said PR however many times, and I'm like, I'm not a PR.
You're a businesswoman who likes to dive.
No, it's true. I completely understand. And like we said earlier, we know a lot of the stuff that people post online, and we've discussed this so many times.
Oh my God, that's
where we know it's not real. We know they're just showing highlights, but we still fall for it. We still go, oh my God, look how successful she is.
But lot of our guests have been honest and brave and candid enough to tell us on our episodes that, guys, you know, my life looks really glossy. It looks great, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling with motherhood. I'm struggling with business. I'm struggling with health. And you know, if there's like a big value to take from the podcast is that a lot of these people that we've sat with and had a chat with have openly come out and said, what you see is not real. And yet, all four of us who are in this industry fall for it on a daily basis.
Yeah. But do you think people want to see it? Do you think people want to see if you wake up and actually, and I've answered my own question, because I see when Zahra talks about her anxiety sometimes on social, and I actually love that. That does give us offside, but what do you get? What's the response from people?
No, I completely understand. And sometimes I'm like, why would I want to be that Debbie Downer that's always talking about how crappy her day is, or the anxiety, or the depression, and all that stuff? And I think it's just finding the balance and seeing what works for you. And I mean, initially, Hanin knows, I didn't want to talk about it because I was so ashamed. But at the time, I felt so alone. So I thought, you know what, let me share some of the stuff that I go through. Maybe someone else is going through it and thinking they're alone when they're not. And the response has been great. Like, there are lots of people that are like, oh my God, I'm so glad. I thought I was alone. I'm going through the same thing. It's nice to hear that, you know, you're still running your business, but you're still going through all of this. And I think it's just about finding your foot and finding how the reaction is. I'm sure if I get people saying, it's too much, excuse me, if it's like, oh, it's too depressing and stuff, it's about finding that balance. But I think we need to be real, because nothing's real anymore. Yeah, and we need to be more present. We need to be more honest. And vulnerability seems to be doing a lot more than it used to. So we need to be able to show that, hey, we're humans. We're not machines that just keep like throwing out content and throwing out all this stuff. So yeah, I think it's about honesty and just finding the balance with you, your personal life and your business life.
It's almost like your grid on Instagram is like the shiny polished thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is almost what Instagram's turned into. Stories is like honesty.
Yeah.
And then TikTok is just having a bit
but
of
I
fun.
Also think the general public can be educated. Like,
exactly.
Even since Instagram started, I think there has been a few shifts over the years. So I think it started off like people were posting their coffees and having borders, and it wasn't, I don't think anyone had a pretty looking grid kind of thing. And then it went wild with everyone having like the overly edited photos and all that kind of stuff, everyone showing off their wealth and everything. Obviously that's still on there, but I do think in the past maybe 3 years, people have been using it, the good side of social media. There's a very, very bad side to it, but the good side is, it's the first time that the world has been able to communicate with anyone. You tell your own story. Yeah. That's why PRs are finding it hard. People hired PRs to tell their story for them because a brand couldn't directly connect with their audience unless they did marketing or did an advertorial, or you couldn't. You went on someone else's platform of communication, a magazine, a radio show, TV, whatever. And social media has meant that you can talk directly to your audience. That's amazing in so many ways.
You are your own billboard.
I think it goes back to being authentic and just doing you. Just be you. People will come.
And being passionate. Yeah. Passionate about what you're talking about and not doing it just so you can get invited to a swanky party.
Yeah.
Like, just do it because you love it.
They get too much.
Yeah.
Don't follow the trends, make your own trends.
Yes.
And believe in yourself.
I like that.
And stop looking at other people's. And get really good friends that you can speak to, because a problem shared is a problem halved.
Oh.
We have so many gems this episode.
All the quotes are coming out. I love it. And what a great way to end the episode, because I know you guys have so much more to say, and I have so many more questions to ask, and I know you both have been going through a few things before you started Genie. So we're going to have to bring you back next season.
Yes.
And having two of you, I'm loving this.
I know. I like the four people dynamic.
Yeah. Has anyone ever interviewed the two of you?
No.
No.
Okay, because I'm desperate to do this. So.
Oh, my God.
They are the most interesting girls ever.
Well, maybe they should be Genie Podcast.
Ooh.
Watch out. Watch this space.
Ours would not be G-rated.
I'm sure this is a family-friendly podcast. Yes.
So we'll definitely get you guys on it when it's not.
But thank you, girls, so much. It was wonderful having you guys.
It was such an honor. Thank you.
And thanks for opening up. Thank you so much.